NATO says it's reviewing all ties with Russia.
The accident scene tells the story. There it is.
Chinese ambassador tweeting.
Overnight, it was a joyride.
Ukraine has seen a lot of changes in a short amount of...
What should I listen?
Confused about different news sources? CUC Radio English Weekly Focus will bring you selected and organized news from home and abroad, only on every Monday.
Welcome to Weekly Focus with news around China and the world. This is Huo Minhan.
And this is An Mowen. Today is Wednesday, November 15th, the 10th week of this term.
Here is the roundup of the latest news, coming up next 30 minutes.
The 11th Open Badminton Championships of CUC held in Jin. On November 11th, the 11th Open Badminton Championships of CUC was held in Gymnasium. As one of the important sports events, it has developed into an integrated competition system open to all the students at school.
Xi and Trump at APEC. Contrasting speeches and receptions. It was a chance to hear the leaders of the two most powerful countries on Earth and two biggest economies speak back-to-back to the same audience.
Three Chinese students injured in car rampage in France.
On November 10th, a car driven by a man known to have psychiatric problems rammed into a group of students in a city in southwest France. Double 11 on its way. Give your money to Alibaba.
Hey, Wanyin, did you get something on Double 11?
Sure. I waited until midnight buying up the goods which I added to my shopping cart a long time ago, and all my roommates set up late to welcome Double 11.
And this is Weekly Focus.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Review.
First of all, let's check the campus news.
From November 11th to November 12th, the 13th Chinese Universities Museum Seminar, as well as the 3rd Chinese Universities Curator Forum, was held in the International Exchange Center of CUC. As we all know, campus museums are one of the most important places for we college students to learn about our school's history and gain extracurricular knowledge. Today, almost 100 colleges' museum curators gathered here, not only to share some experience in the museum management, but also to exchange good ideas in future museum development. Now, our correspondent Shirley interviewed the principal of Chinese University Museum Organization to know more about the seminar.
There are three main characteristics of this year's seminar. First is its huge scale. 105 college museums and related companies, 200 people in total attended the seminar, which can be regarded as quite an important seminar in the history of college museum. Second is the high standard of the guests.
Many heavy hitters like the Dean of Imperial Palace Museum, Ji Qiangshan, the Dean and the Vice Dean of Education Department of Arts, the Secret of International College Museum Institution, all attended this seminar and gave excellent academic feature speeches, which played a leading and model role in the department of our college museums. Lastly, the shining point of this year's seminar is that they hired our school's professors Duo Chun and Yong Hong as the image ambassador of China College Museum, which will undoubtedly promote its influence.
Though the seminar only lasted for 2 days, it left a deep impression on every participant. Now we interview a participant to learn about her gaining from this seminar.
The theme topics of the seminar are inheritance, development, communication, and sharing. I want to talk about sharing part. Every college museum has something we can learn. In my opinion, our school can learn from Tsinghua University's museum. Their interaction with the visitors on the WeChat, the incursion of virtual reality technology, and the foresight of the special exhibition online are all well worth learning. When it comes to the speech that impressed me the most, I think Ji Qiangshan, the dean of Imperial Palace Museum, his sharing of his witness of the huge changes taking place in the museum during his 6 year working was really impressive. As tourists, we didn't have a deep knowledge of the development of the museum before, but after his moving speech, we learned about the difficulties and dilemma the museum confronts, and he also conveyed the most important thing a museum worker should attend to us, and that is responsibility.
Innovation has always been the key point for development, and it can't go without technology and cooperation. As the main topic of this year's seminar, let's see what creative ideas had been raised in the meeting.
This seminar put forward many new concepts. One of the delegates said that we can combine college with museum. That is to say, when people go around the university, they just feel like visiting a museum and can gain much useful knowledge. Moreover, we can make good use of current high technology like VR to narrow the distance between visitors and exhibits.
Thank you, Shirley. We believe after the two-day seminar, everyone present will have learned a lot from each other and gain further understanding and solid knowledge of the future development of the college museums. And we also believe that our school's museum will continue...
On November 11th, the 11th Open Badminton Championships of CUC was held in gymnasium. As one of the important sports events, it has developed into an integrated competition system open to all the students at school. Here is the detailed report from our correspondent Wang Wei.
In any competitions, judges always play an important role. His or her shadow is visible everywhere in the gym. Now let's hear the voice from a judge.
The group you saw just now was from the Faculty of Science and Technology and the Faculty of Economics and Management. While you see, there is no school badminton groups in our campus. Therefore, they cannot get the formal training except their volunteering training. Besides, as for the judging rules, this morning the teacher have taught us in detail.
After hearing the judge's voice, there is another voice we cannot neglect. Let's hear the athlete's view about this competition.
I came here around 7:45 and my major is theater, film and television directing. Before I came here, I know a little about this competition. I just saw the message in the WeChat group sent by my monitor. It's my first time to take part in such a competition in our campus since in my senior middle school there was no such a competition. It's just for fun, I guess. Besides, after I came to CUC, I did not play badminton and thus I had no preparation about it. Just now I said it's just for fun, so no expectations for the results.
Just now we heard an athlete's voice. We know that she's waiting for the game. Now let's come to another athlete who has finished her first round and let's hear her experience about this competition.
To be honest, my opponent may not be stronger than me, but my Achilles heel is the poor psychological qualities. At the very beginning, I felt so nervous that I lost one game, but one belief I held forever was that I can win and I will win. It's my first time to join such a competition and I just played sports for fun before. Until now, I still feel very nervous. And as for the competition rules, I know it well because I learned it for 2 years. What I gain most is that I can relax myself in an extreme nervous state. About the expectation, I hope I can successfully enter the next round.
That's all the information I've got. Back to you, studio.
Thank you, Wang Wei. From the report, we can feel different attitudes and different expectations towards this competition. Sincerely hope more and more students will join in the Open Badminton Championships of CUC and the best wishes to the top athletes for the honor of CUC.
Okay, let's look at the domestic news. Xi and Trump at APEC, contrasting speeches and receptions. It was a chance to hear the leaders of the two most powerful countries on earth and two biggest economies speak back-to-back to the same audience. a chance to compare and contrast the substances of their speeches and the reactions of the audience. In this case, head of the government, business leaders, entrepreneurs, and analysts at the APEC CEO Summit in Da Nang, Vietnam. Donald Trump, the successful business tycoon, would be in this element speaking to such an audience. But APEC aims to promote multilateral free trade deals, and the delegates are overwhelmingly believers in the benefit of globalization.
Trump launched into a scathing indictment of the U.S. trade partners and multilateral trade arrangements. When the United States enters into a trading relationship with other countries or peoples, we will from now on expect that our partners will faithfully follow the rules just like we do, he said. From this day forward, we will compete on a fair and equal basis. We are not going to let the United States be taken advantage of anymore. I am always going to put American first, the same way that I expect all of you in this room to put your countries first.
His comments were met with something like an embarrassed silence. You must be the beneficiaries of these deals, he quipped. He did get a polite round of applause as his speech concluded, with some in the crowd waving to him and many taking obligatory mobile phone photos and videos. Minutes later, President Xi Jinping took to the stage to applaud noticeably several times louder, where Trump's speech seemed superficial and over-negative. Xi's speech focuses on how to bring the region closer together, boost connectivity, open trade further, reduce poverty, and ensure inclusive growth.
We should continue to foster an open economy that benefits all. Openness brings progress, while self-seclusion leaves one behind. We, the Asia-Pacific economics, know this only too well from our own development experience, she said. We should support the multilateral trading regime and practice open regionalism to allow developing members to benefit more from international trade and investment. He also hinted at China liberalizing its economy further, something that would doubtless please the previous speaker, Donald J. Trump.
8 years after the first single-day promotion, the Chinese Shopping Festival has become a global retail event. Buyers and retailers are getting ready for this year's shopping extravaganza, which falls on Saturday. Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba said over 15 million types of goods from 140,000 brands will be available through Tmall shopping platform. The company said luxury brand retail giant from the United States and Australia and millions of Chinese retailers will join the promotion this year.
Stadium Goods, a New York City-based marketplace that sells footwear and other apparel, said it began preparations for the promotion 1 month in advance. Its single-day sales target is $2 million, said John McFeathers, founder of the company. In 2016, Alibaba's single-day sales totaled 120 billion yuan. A third of the sales come from global brands and retailers, the company said. November 11 has been celebrated as single day since the 1990s. The date was chosen because 11-11 resembles four bear sticks. Alibaba introduced the single day shopping event in 2009, and it has grown to become known as the Chinese version of the US Black Friday sales.
Chinese buyers have started to add their chosen goods to shopping carts. In the countdown to midnight when promotions begin, overseas buyers are also participating in the world's biggest retail event. According to figures from AliExpress, the company's outbound platform has 60 million active buyers in 220 countries and regions in 2017. On a daily basis, over 20 million people used AliExpress to make purchases online. In Russia alone, there are about 22 million online buyers, the company said.
Another Chinese e-commerce giant, JD.com, has also offered discounts on postage fees for global buyers. On the Singles' Day, overseas consumers will be able to have their products delivered to their homes without paying shipping costs, said Yan Xiaobing, vice manager of JD Group.
Singles Day is adding more and more overseas business, and it's become a huge opportunity for goods, capital, and cultural to be exchanged around the world, said Jing Xuejun, professor of economics at Zhejiang University. Chinese companies have improved payment and logistics network to make online buying cheaper and more convenient. Buying and selling on a global scale is a boon for the global retail market and the world economy, he said.
Okay, let's look at the international news. On November 10th, a car driven by a man known to have psychiatric problems rammed into a group of students in a city in southwest France, causing three severely injured, a French prosecutor said. Toulouse prosecutor Pierre Ibs told that it happened when a motorist drove into the group near a university campus in the city of Belenic. Pierre said the driver claimed to act deliberately and was arrested. An attempted murder investigation has been opened, he said. The prosecutor said the driver was known to police for about 10 minor crosses but were not listed on the French register of people suspected of being radicalized by extremists. The case is now being referred to France's counter-terrorist prosecutors.
According to the two police officials, the suspect was born in 1989 and known to suffer from a psychiatric disorder. The officials said he lived near the university. The three people hurt at Chinese students ages 22 and 23. Police officials said two were taken into the hospital with injury that were considered serious, but not life-threatening. The third suffered more minor injuries. The police officials requested anonymity because they were not allowed to speak publicly about an ongoing investigation. The Toulouse region's daily newspaper, Lady Bechu, said the three students were in Blagnac for a French-Chinese program and a private business school.
不得不戴上口罩或者用手帕捂住口鼻。
On November 9th, the local government in New Delhi Thursday announced it would roll out odd-even formula for private cars in the capital city from the next week, officials said. The announcement was made by local transport minister Kailash Gahlot. Odd-even car rationing scheme will be enforced in Delhi for a five-day period from Monday, Gahlot said. The decision to impose the formula was made in the wake of rising air pollution levels in the national capital. Under the arrangement, private cars with odd registration numbers are allowed to run on odd dates, while even-numbered cars will ply on even dates. Last year, the scheme was enforced twice, from January 1st to January 15th and April 15th to April 30th. Since November 9th morning, Delhi was covered with thick smog, following which health officials issued advisory to elderly and children to avoid venturing out. All schools in Delhi, adjoining areas, and Punjab was closed until Sunday in view of the pollution. The entry of trunks except those carrying essentials had been banned in the national capital. Besides, work on civil construction site was suspended.
The deadly smoke chokes air, causing breathlessness and lung difficulties, besides badly affecting the visibility. Delhi is considered to be the most polluted city in the world. Last year, the city's high court described the capital as gas chamber. Air pollution is a leading cause of premature death in India. Pollution in Delhi gets aggravated during winter months. The number of patients has increased obviously, said Deepak Rosha, a pulmonologist at Apollo Hospital, one of the largest private hospital in Delhi. I don't think it has even been so bad in Delhi. I'm very angry that we had to come to this. Breathing in air with PM2.5 contents of between 950 to 1,000 is considered roughly equivalent to smoking 44 cigarettes a day, according to the independent Berkeley Earth Science Research Group. Ahead of winter's people grow agricultural waste to clean crop land, which contributes to the choking of already polluted air.
Okay, let's move on to the weekly news minute. China's e-commerce giant has implemented green initiatives for the Single Day Shopping Spree. The annual online shopping festival offers massive discounts, boosting online sales, but also leading to the piling up of the packaging waste at landfills. Three major online retailers, Alibaba, Suning, and Jingdong.com, will process millions of online orders on November 11th. To counter the tons of packaging at landfills, they have initiated few baby steps to tackle the waste. Suning has launched reusable package for express deliveries in 13 cities. Jingdong.com has decided to reduce the width of its packaging tape from 50mm to 45mm, but also plans to use biodegradable glues. Alibaba Group's green packaging initiative, Tianyao, will put into service 20 of its green warehouse to use easy-to-recycle and biodegradable material for packaging.
Chinese President Xi Jinping called for more efforts to build the free trade area of the Asia-Pacific on Friday during his keynote speech at the 25th Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation CEO Summit in Da Nang, Vietnam. To achieve that, China will increase its input into innovation, nurture new driver growth, enhance connectivity with Asia-Pacific countries, and, more importantly, strengthen its opening up effort. China will not stop the pace of opening up to the world and making it a larger and more comprehensive market in the coming 15 years, said Xi. He said China will significantly ease market access restrictions and treat all foreign businesses in the country as equals. With the launch of the Belt and Road Initiative providing the Asia-Pacific region with a broader, more vigorous cooperation platform.
Time Magazine latest edition is better understood, which directly declared China won on its cover in both English and Chinese language editions last Friday. And Bremer, as its author, caused quite a stir. He concluded in this article that China is better positioned to lead the global economy, writing that if you had to bet on one country that is best positioned today to extend its influence, its partners and rivals alike, you wouldn't be wise to back the U.S., and the smart money would probably be on China. I think everybody needs to be discussing the fact that the liberal democracy model right now doesn't fulfill the purpose for the 21st century, Bremer noted.
The EU on Thursday slashed Britain's growth forecast for this year and said the slowdown would continue through 2019. Uncertainties over Brexit weigh on the economy. Growth in Britain has slowed markedly in 2017 and was projected to fall to 1.5% for the year, the EU said in its autumn forecast, down from 1.8% in its spring forecast. The figure puts Britain's economy joint lowest in the bloc with Italy, and far below both the dramatically upgraded Eurozone forecast of 2.2% growth for 2017 and the wider EU outlook of 2.3%. Britain's growth was expected to tumble further to 1.3% in 2018, the same as in the spring forecast, and then to just 1.1% in 2019, a new prediction, it said.
The 2017 Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, also known as APEC, Leaders Week, is held in Vietnam's Da Nang from November 6th to 11th. Some 3,000 journalists from around the world are gathering in the coastal city for the big event. As the meeting is the fourth leg on U.S. President Donald Trump's first Asian tour, reporters are expecting his speech to reveal the U.S. government's policy in Asia-Pacific and the interactions between him and his Russian counterpart. Chinese President Xi Jinping will also attend the meeting. Will he take this opportunity to further promote the Belt and Road Initiative? Science and technology in countries like Vietnam will also be under the spotlight.
The first PlayerUnknown's Battleground competition, which was organized by Media and Entertainment, has concluded on November 12th. This is the first electronic sport competition in CUC. by inviting preeminent players to the lab to have the competition and live broadcasting in Douyu, the organizer said this competition has been a great success. With electronic sports becoming more and more popular around the world, media and entertainment will probably organize competitions like this more often in the near future, said the organizer. So nice to meet you again. Let's go through some fresh sport news. Chinese athletes will try to make new breakthrough at next year's Pyeongchang Winter Olympic Games, a senior sport official said in a recent exclusive interview. We will try to achieve good results, make new breakthrough and impress the world with our fighting spirits, said Gao Zhidan, Deputy Director of China General Administration of Sport. Chinese short track skaters, who have contributed 9 out of 12 gold medals that China have claimed in the past Winter Games, will spearhead Chinese medal contenders at Pyeongchang, but they are going to face tough challenge from their South Korean counterparts. Chinese athletes will also consider as medal contenders in some events of figure skating, speed skating, freestyle skiing, in which they have captured one gold each in the last 3 games. American Jack Salk said he was shocked after moving from thinking about his holidays. During his opening Paris Master win to qualify for the World Tour Finals in London after claiming the Bercy title.
Yeah, this week is an incredible moment for me, especially the way it started, being down a big in my first match and being able to battle through that one, and you know, now standing here with the trophy is indescribable, but an unbelievable week from Philip. You know, he came from Collies, played so many matches here, beat so many good players, played some amazing tennis, and I hope, you know, this isn't the last, you know, big final we play against each other.
The 16th seed beat qualifier Filip Rajvonic 5-7, 6-4, 6-1 in the final on Sunday. He trailed 5-1 in a deciding set during his second round match against Britain's Cale Edmund on Wednesday, but fought back before going on to snatch the 8th and final spot for the year-ending event from Spaniard Pablo Carreño Busta with the biggest title of his career. Sok rose from 22nd to 9th in the world rankings on Monday, and is the first American to reach the tour finals since Marty Fish in 2011. Northern Ireland must channel the anger of a controversial penalty decision to beat Switzerland when the sides meet again in Sunday's World Cup playoff second leg, says manager Michael O'Neill.
So it's very disappointing to lose the game on that. You know, listen, we had a tough night. It was tough. Switzerland, a very good team, showed it particularly in the first half. But we hung in there. We dug in. I thought we were a lot better in the second half. And it's just a shame that, you know, we're now going, you know, 1-0 down off the back of a decision like that.
The Swedes lead 1-0 thanks to Ricardo Rodriguez's spot kick after Corey Evans was deemed to have handled. This was billed as Northern Ireland's biggest home match in more than 30 years, and Northern Ireland are aiming to qualify for a first World Cup since 1986, and only the fourth in their history. They are also seeking to reach back-to-back major tournaments for the first time, having reached the last 16 at the European Championship in France last year. We are still in the tie. We are going to have a fine way to let a go back, O'Neill said. After one of the most surprising tennis season of all time, who will take home the season-ending ATP World Tour Finals title? Having come within a whisker of clinching the number one ranking at a grand old age of 36 this fall, Federer is the favorite to win a record-extending seventh title at the ATP Finals. And Nadal, who has won 16 Grand Slams titles, 2 Olympic gold medals and 4 Davis Cups, had yet to win the ATP Finals. This season, Nadal has said winning the ATP title in London is one of his main goals. With his confidence sky high, he will surely fancy his chances this time around. The tournament for the top 8 singles and double players on the men's tour starts November 12th at London's second arena. Lewis Hamilton said he will not let the controversy over his tax affairs distract him as he heads into a final 2 races of this season. Hamilton is one of the high-profile figures whose tax situation came under security in the Paradise Paper. The Mercedes driver admitted to Sam Powell on Wednesday that there was a bit of storm surrounding him, but he added, "It doesn't distract me from my core value or what I am here to do, win the Brazilian Grand Prix." The 32-year-old Briton, who clinched his fourth world title at the first race in Mexico, is determined to win at Interlagos on Sunday and in Abu Dhabi on 26 November.
Welcome to the Weekly Entertainment. Stick to the channel and I will bring you a terrific show tonight. May the Force be with you. Wildcats TV series based on Star Wars and High School Musical are in the work, while Disney Company Chairman and CEO Bob Iger revealed during a quarterly earning call with reporters. However, you will have to wait until 2019 to catch the beloved for widely different reasons franchises. In addition to Star Wars and High School Musical TV series, Disney is also looking to create a series based on Monster, Inc., its 2001 animated hit film with Pixar. As for HSM, a fourth installment of the beloved franchise, which made Zac Efron a household name, is set to air on Disney Channel. Viewers can expect to meet a whole new class of East High School Wildcats. A big feast is waiting for you. "At you, Harry Potter," said HBO. The cable network has acquired the rights to air all 9 movies in fan-favorite hit film series, 6 years after the final movie was released to theaters. The Harry Potter series, which started with the 2001 movie Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone and ends with the 2011 film Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, joins the prequel Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is already airing and streaming on HBO platforms. For years, the Harry Potter films has aired continuously on the Disney-owned cable channel Freeform, formerly known as ABC Family. The A-film Harry Potter series starred Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, and Rupert Grint, and is the second highest-grossing film franchise of all time with $7.7 billion in box office sales. A sequel to Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is currently in the works and is set for release in theaters in November 2018. Happy to see you again, Harry! Ellen hit a milestone with her 2,500th show, and she looked back at how far she's come since starting the 15 years ago. Just listen to what he said and applause for her extraordinary 15 years.
"Back then, we didn't have smartphones or fidget spinners or fake news. There were no selfies. We only took someone else's. And listen to this. My show is older than Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There was no... That's crazy, right? There was no social media back then. If you wanted to show someone a picture of your food or a duck face, you didn't, because no one cared. It was a beautiful time to be alive. Technology has changed so much. Now everyone uses GPS to get around. This is what GPS looked like when my show started. I'm looking. I think it's that way. I'd have to ask my husband which way we were going. We were in England because the driver's seat was over there. See? Siri, put this away. All right. My show has changed a lot, too. In 2003, I had no friends at Shutterfly. My friends worked at places like Walden Books and Circuit City. We've also added a lot of things to my show over the years. And, Twitch, you want to know my favorite thing that we've added?
What's your favorite thing? No.
It's you.
Taylor Swift and Shonda Rhimes' TGIT are the match made in heaven. During a breaking ABC scandal, Swift debuted a New Year's Eve in closing track of his new album, Reputation, available on Friday. It marked her first performance of the new song in 3 years, and was her first TV appearance promoting her new music, a follow-up to 2014's 1989. The performance was pre-taped during one of Swift's secret sessions in her Rhode Island home. New Year's Eve is the fifth pre-release single from Reputation, following Look What You Made Me Do, Ready For It, Gorgeous, and Call It What You Want. 12 hours before its November 10th release, Swift's album leaked online. Of course, feeling shared links are swiftly killed. This is us fans better buckled up. If you thought you've got a handle on all the drama the Pearson family tackles every week, you ain't seen nothing yet. The next 3 episodes of NBC's Emmy-winning drama will each revolve around one of the big 3, Kevin, Kate, and Randall, and they're not going to be a walk in the park. Fans have been paying extra attention to details this season, especially in the premiere episode that features how Jack died and dropped clues about the events leading up to the house fire.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's commentary. This is commentator Sun Qingkun.
And this is commentator Zheng Wanying.
Hey, Wanying, did you get something on Double 11?
Sure. I waited until midnight buying up the goods which I added to my shopping cart long time ago, and all my roommates stayed up late to welcome Double 11.
Oh my god, girls are crazy.
Everyone are crazy. So today we are going to talk about this annual orgy, Double 11.
So, what is Double 11? How does it come into being? Double 11, founded by e-commerce giant Alibaba, is a festival which uses shopping as a tool to comfort lonely hearts of singles in China. It has been a national festival, triggering shopping orgy. With a record 168.3 billion yuan spent during this year's single days, 39% up on the company's own record of 120.7 billion yuan last year. Double 11 has successfully exceeded the combined sales for Black Friday and Cyber Monday in the United States.
Double 11 has also created global synergy among all business forces powered by data technology. Singles Day purchases or sales were recorded in over 200 countries and regions. Chinese logistics companies are busily expanding overseas to meet growing demand for cross-border online shopping. Meanwhile, more international brands and department stores are also shipping goods to Chinese warehouses.
For U.S. e-commerce platform Amazon, its Amazon.cn operation has natural advantages in collaborating with big international brands and stores. It had the biggest share of overseas sales on single days.
And the meaning behind Double 11 goes far beyond the shopping spree, which will push Chinese e-commerce economy to develop. It is reported that Chinese commerce titan prepared to face off on Singles Day. Alibaba and Jingdong are taking the battle for shoppers' wallets to labels from all sectors. And not only these online shopping enterprises, catering industries and other business are also involved.
And there's no wonder that the college students are the main force among all consumers. According to the research released by online social media, massive amounts of college students chop off their hands, failing to control the soaring desire to click buying.
However, they feel obscure to the reasons why they spend so much, buying stuffs which even are useless. We witnessed that a serious problem demanded prompt solution, which is called excessive consumption in professional.
So, what are the causes? We divide the reasons into 2 groups, subjective and objective respectively. For objective reason, we conclude to the development of financial technology. People are addicted to buying because they find it convenient to buy using their mobile phone. Digital payment as a leading force in this thing trend is perceived as a new engine to promote our desire. I use both Jingdong Credit and Alipay Huabei for mobile payments. These personal credit apps make it so easy to spend money, especially for large payments. For example, Jingdong Credit's installment plans have very low interest and even zero interest, so when I purchase goods over a couple of thousand yuan, I'm tempted to use it. A 28-year-old white-collar worker told CGTN.
A recent report from Alipay showed that over 40 million youngsters born after 1990 have signed up to Alipay Huabei. This payment option, which was launched in 2015, serves as a virtual credit card for shoppers on Alibaba's Tmall and Taobao sites.
As e-commerce platforms like Alibaba and Jingdong have collected massive amounts of data to build detailed user profiles, they are well placed to develop consumer financial services, as many analysts have pointed out.
But we need to acknowledge that the reasons above are not remarkable enough. So let's now focus on subjective causes. Sun Qingkun, let me ask you a question. If you did not buy anything on Double 11, will you feel empty that you failed to accomplish a must-down mission?
Kind of.
And that is the point. Double 11 has become a trend which urges you to follow. With this weird phenomenon, we are desperate to satisfy demand and feel emptiness by shopping, especially cheap goods which will offer us illusion. That is also the reason that why we will feel guilty after we finish shopping. Besides, for most college freshmen, entering college testifies that entering the first stage of financial autonomy. This kind of excitement sometimes drives us to irrational buying. We are on cloud nine for escaping from parents' control, but this could not happen on the end of the month if you keep the immoderation.
Therefore, it's time to focus on the solutions. The only way to curb your desire is to start with need when you are shopping. Consider the necessity of the products over and over again. You'd better find a friend to supervise you if you are losing your self-discipline. You will feel ashamed after being at the mercy of your desire.
So maybe I will change a little bit on next year's single days. Maybe.
Okay, and here ends our today's commentary. This is commentator Sun Qingkun.
And this is commentator Zheng Wanying. See you next week.
Thank you, Zheng Wanying and Sun Qingkun. We'll offer you some living tips at the end of our program.
These days, enjoy the warmness brought by the central heating and beware of the temperature difference when going outdoors. Don't catch a cold.
These are the selected news brought to you by Weekly Focus. Thank you for being with us for the past half an hour.
Next week, Weekly Focus will continue to help you review and foresee from Weekly Focus.
Focus is on China and the world, only on Weekly Focus. This is Hu Minhan. See you.
And this is An Bowen. See you.
更多节目，下载荔枝 FM 收听。